Today's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 18. Paul had been doing a lot of traveling around Greece, and we find out that there are other workers in the vineyard too. Now there came to Ephesus a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, well versed in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with burning enthusiasm and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. And when he wished to cross over to Achaia, the believers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. On his arrival, he greatly helped those who, through grace, had become believers, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Messiah is Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone, and I'm so glad to see so many of you were able to come today and to share in this time, special occasion today in the life of our church and also in the life of Mike and Emily. As Janet said, it's a little bit different, and so we're going to proceed in a slightly different way today. There are three commands that Jesus gave his disciples or individuals during his ministry that appear on the surface to be contradictory to one another. The first one given is given the fewest times. And it is a word I think many people, especially those who don't like change, like the most. Stay. Stay where you are. When sending out his disciples to share the good news, he tells them to stay in the house where they are welcomed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he tells them to stay and watch and pray. He tells them again to wait or stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit arrives. But staying in one place is not something Jesus told his disciples to do very often. The second command was given slightly more often. Come. Come follow me. Returning from their mission, he tells the disciples to come away by yourselves and rest a while. That is similar to his command to those who are weary and burdened to come to him. And to Lazarus, come forth. He beckons the disciples to come for breakfast, which he has prepared on the beach after his resurrection. A common theme in this second command is the invitation to meet with Jesus and to be with Jesus. But it is the third command that is the most common of the three that Jesus gives. Go. After every healing, he instructs the person to go. Pick up your mat and go. Go show yourselves to the priest. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Go home and share what has happened for you. Then there are the times the person is to follow up on a conversation he had with an individual. Go call your husband. Go sell everything. Go be reconciled. Go is the command requiring a person to do something. Go and prepare the Passover meal. Go is the command of activity. Perhaps that is sometimes why this can be the command we want to ignore. The challenge is to know which one of these three commands God is giving at any one particular time. The book of Acts is really a record of people going. In response to the commission Jesus gives his disciples, we learn how they go about sharing the good news of after Jesus' death and resurrection. Some would think, as Mike rightly pointed out in a sermon he gave some time ago, people think that the command in the Great Commission is a command. It's not really. It's a participle as you were going. So it's not really a command, just to be clarified and to know I was listening to Mike when he was preaching. This short passage we read today is about a man we don't hear too much about, but who responded to the command to go. We are given a few details about him. We learn right away that he is a Jew, but interestingly, he is from Alexandria. Alexandria was the center for learning in the Greco-Roman world. Those who came from Alexandria were considered the cream of the crop in the arts and the sciences and philosophy. And that is how Apollos is described. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of scriptures. By the way, the scriptures were translated from Hebrew into Greek at Alexandria many centuries before Apollos. Apollos, like Paul, also seemed to have had a following of disciples, as we read in 1 Corinthians. Apollos was a man willing to go. Here we learn that he was in Ephesus and preached in the synagogue. Although he was eager to preach and was an excellent communicator, he apparently was not completely familiar with the gospel. And so Priscilla and Aquila, two members of the congregation, take him aside and disciple him further in the good news. And that brought further impact to his preaching as he then goes into Achaia and has more success in sharing the gospel and the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. I think if you were to ask Mike today, he would tell you he has learned many things during the 5 years he's been at Knox. This has been a time of ministering to others, our youth and children and families, and the congregation as a whole. But I'm sure he has learned even more about ministry, about people, about leadership, about himself, about what it means to be married, about the Presbyterian way of doing things, but most importantly, more about God and living the Jesus life. But what I want to point out from this story is not so much about Apollos, but rather the reaction of the believers in Ephesus when he wished to go to a new location. We read, "The brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him." I've heard from some today that they were wishing Mike would stay at Knox. That tells me that Mike is not only appreciated for his ministry, but is also well-liked. And I concur. But it is hard sometimes to have people leave. But I would encourage you as a congregation not to view Mike as leaving Knox, but rather he is going to our brothers and sisters at Erskine and that community in Hamilton, so that like Apollos, he will be a great help to those who by grace have believed. We learn later in Acts and in some of the letters that Apollos and Paul team up together for ministry. And that must have been a wonderful team. We don't know, of course, where Mike's and Emily's journey with God will take them. But by encouraging them and asking the Erskine folks to welcome them, we can rely on God to bring blessing to them and those they serve, so that he will have an even greater impact on their lives. Thank you, Mike and Emily, for your gifts, your leadership, and faithful witness to Jesus Christ that you have shared with the Knox family over the past 5 years. And we pray God's continued grace, strength, and wisdom as you go where he has called you. We have a number of people today who would like to share a little bit about their experience with Mike over the past few years. And so I'd like to call upon Haley and Connor McKenzie if they would come and share today.
Pastor Mike has made a big difference in mine and Cara's lives. The very fact that we are up here in front of you all sharing this when we are very shy is a testimony in itself. He makes things that he's teaching easy to understand and helped me learn a lot more about the Bible and new things I didn't know. This has made me want to learn even more. He made youth groups so much fun, making me want to come out as often as I could. When he would teach things, he made it really interesting, which was very helpful because before I would sometimes find things boring and difficult to understand, because of the way other people would teach it. He's also funny and caring too, always asking how we are doing and how our week was, showing great interest in us. Pastor Mike doing the mission trip and us getting the opportunity to go on it made a big difference in our lives, because in some ways you could say it was our first real trip, as it was the first time we got to go on a plane and go to another country. And the fact that it got to be something so important makes it really special. I will miss you, Pastor Mike, and good luck in your new church. You will be amazing.
Thank you for being a great youth pastor to this church and setting up and taking us on trips to the Dominican Republic to help people who need it. Although we wish we couldn't leave the Dominican, it was still nice to come back and talk about it to all the people who could not go and experience it themselves. Pastor Mike has been a great inspiration to our youth groups and churches, or our church, and taught us about God, even preparing and serving food for the homeless and less fortunate people at the Wesley Center was fun because of him. I personally think he has made the youth group different and original than other groups I have attended. He comes up with fun ideas to learn about God. For example, one time we did a trivia game to see who remembered most about the people of the Bible and the locations in it. When we have our snacks, we talk about all the stories from the past week. I'm sure that all of us wish that Pastor Mike and Emily wouldn't leave, but we are happy for you and wish you good luck for your new church.
Some of you may or may not know that Mike's experience and influence has been much broader than the walls of this building. Last week we had Marcel Knott with us sharing, and Marcel has sent a note on behalf of the YFC. Mike was someone who was very community focused, and we at YFC greatly appreciate his contributions. He volunteered his time building relationships with youth and encouraging them through our lunch program, chill zone, and special events that included our unchurched students and those from Knox. He was the cornerstone of the Youth Pastors Network over the past 5 years. Without him, it is unlikely we would have been able to continue our partnership with churches in the community. We have seen many great things happen in our community because of Mike, and we look forward to seeing the impact his love and enthusiasm will have in his future ministry. From Marcel Knott at Youth Unlimited. I'm looking for one of our other speakers, Grace, but I don't know that she's here. Pardon? Oh. Mike has just informed me that Grace is not well, so it's unfortunate she's not able to join us today. We have another reflection from somebody in our congregation, but somebody who has been ministered to, again, outside the walls of our congregation. Mike, we wish you every happiness in your new church, but sorry you are leaving Knox. Mike has been coming to the manor for a few years, teaching us our prayers and Bible study. Although we are few in numbers, he comes well prepared to help us. Sometimes the hours is not long enough for us, as we are so interested in what he says. I'm very thankful to know he will continue to come to the manor every Thursday. The promise you made. From Ruth DeCheka and the folks at Village Manor. We have one other person to share, and can I ask you to come forward at this time?
When George Anderson asked me to say a few words about Mike, probably about a month ago, I thought of some of our conversations I had with Mike in recent months, recent years, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures for you. One is found in Psalm 37:23. And I think the rendering from the King James Version gives a better description of how I would describe things. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know, Mike phoned me about a day after he informed the elders of the church that he would be going to Erskine. And I said to him, Mike, I think it's probably God's will. You know, we'd had some conversations the previous year, and I said, Mike, I think God's preparing you for a greater work. And I think that, you know, you should be looking beyond just being a youth pastor. And I encouraged him to look at, you know, becoming a pastor of a church. I'm going to read one more scripture, which once again, you know, this is not the scripture I thought I would be reading, but I'm going to read it. It's from the NIV version, the reinstatement of Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said to Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, my my daughter sometimes kids me and tells me about a minister that preaches quite frequently at another church, and they repeat things three times. And it isn't very often that you hear things repeated almost exactly the same, feeding the sheep, feeding the lambs. I believe that Mike over these years has been feeding the lambs of our church here, those who are young in the faith, those who need building up. But I think he's going to be segueing very quickly into obeying what Jesus said to Peter, one of the early leaders of our church, to feed not only the lambs, but the sheep. And I had a great experience with Mike this past mission trip, and I believe there were about 41 people, and I said, Mike, you know, from morning to night, you know, we're doing various things. You know, in the morning, we're waking up early. I think it was 7:30 for devotions, having breakfast, packing our lunches, then going to the work site. And, you know, and I would say to you, I noticed Mike was making his rounds at the work site. You know, I primarily, you know, did one thing. I was primarily involved with putting cinder blocks on, but I remember him coming over to me and saying, Ken, I'd like to maybe get involved and maybe you could, you know, show me how this is done. Or he would be putting windows together and doors together, just seeing how everyone's doing, making sure everyone had water, making sure that Diane was taking an adequate number of pictures. You know, he's just making his rounds, making sure everyone's doing okay. And, you know, after the work session, we would go to the orphanage or the school or the hospital. And then we would have a bit of time of break, have dinner. And then in the evening, we would have fellowship and prayer and devotions again. And so one thing I did learn about Mike, which is he's very competitive when it comes to games. He loves his euchre, and he loves winning. And so you know what? I believe that, you know, Mike is going to be channeling all these energies into not only feeding the lambs, but feeding the sheep, discipling and teaching, and he will be very well suited for this. And, you know, I would be remiss in saying that, Emily, you're going to be a great wife to support him and in ministry. And in fact, my daughter said to me a few months ago, she said, you know, Emily's going to be a great partner with Mike in the ministry. So Mike, we're going to miss you, but as I said in our telephone conversation, this is not goodbye. In fact, I said, you know what? The work of Erskine is one part of the vineyard, and I believe that we're workers together here at Knox Lardown and at Erskine, and our paths will cross again. We're all working in trying to further God's kingdom. I believe that you and Emily will do that. So thank you for your service.
I do have a couple of other greetings that I wanted to read for Mike and for Emily. And so, hi Mike and Emily. Audrey and I are sorry we cannot be with you today to join in a loving farewell. I'm preaching in South Carolina. We are excited for you as you move into this new phase of ministry at Erskine. Your time at Knox has been fruitful for Christ's kingdom, and you will be missed by many. I would say missed by all. Our prayers are with you for greater faithfulness in the years to come. He is able to use you, bless you, and empower you for his liberating gospel in a needy area of Hamilton. In Christ, George and Audrey. And one last greeting that I wanted to bring for you. Very shortly after Mike's arrival at Knox 5 years ago, I thought to myself, this guy's good. I hope someday he will consider the possibility of becoming a minister in the PCC. Our church needs people like him. It was a wonderful encouragement for me before my retirement to know that Mike had written to the Presbytery of Hamilton and the PCC Committee on Education and Reception. I thought, it just might happen. A year's worth of online study at the Vancouver School of Theology and a call from Erskine Church in Hamilton, and now it has happened. I'm thrilled for Mike and for Erskine. I believe Mike has a calling of God on his life for pastoral leadership and ministry in the PCC. 4 years of working alongside of him at Knox has convinced me of that. He brings a heart to see people come alive and grow in Christ, to know their identity as a cherished daughter or son of the living God, and to be lifelong followers of Jesus in his new community, the church. There will be new challenges of life and ministry that lie ahead for Mike as the pastor of Erskine. What I saw and came to know of him during our time together at Knox persuades me he will be a pastor who will move forward with his faith and trust in Christ, in being a gifted and godly servant of Christ's love, forgiveness, and offer of new life. Jan and I pray for God's blessing on Mike and Emily as they begin this new adventure of faith in being part of God's people at Erskine. From George Robertson. He unfortunately was unable to be, as he is preaching as well today. So Mike, Emily, you're welcome to come and share with us.
Thank you all so very much for those kind and encouraging words. I was a little skeptical when I came to Knox. I came from a church in Peterborough that, while was very lovely, had a very different philosophy in how to treat the young people and the families of the congregation. My first event that we did as a big church family, the short version is that I was asked to kind of segregate the young people upstairs because we were worried that they would eat too much of the pie that was being served. And true story, I promise, true story. And so maybe it would be better for them to all be away in a room where they couldn't be seen and couldn't gobble up all the pie. And it was a struggle to have that church see children and young people and families as a vital part of the congregation, as part of the fabric of who we were and what we did. And I never had even the faintest hint of that here at Knox. I remember being just blown away talking to the people who are retired, 11 o'clock service people, who were so interested in the young people and the families of our church, who wanted to know how youth group was going, how many kids were coming out, what were their names, what are you up to? It was just, it really took me back for a moment. And I love that so much. There was never a doubt of the value of the ministry that I was doing here, that Emily and I were doing here, that our volunteers, our Sunday school teachers were a part of. There was, it was never in doubt. And that warmed my heart in a way that I probably can't express today, and encouraged me in my faith and in my job here at Knox. I will deeply miss not being here on Sundays. And and the Tuesdays and the Fridays. Sorry, I didn't expect to do this. I will treasure the camping trips at Algonquin, the youth nights playing sardines in the church, laughing over the bonfires at the Garretts and the Grazley House, Sunday morning children's stories, and seeing faith come to life in our students and our families on those mission trips. I am deeply grateful for Knox putting so much faith in me, and I am very grateful for the support that I have received from 3 to 93-year-olds. That has meant the world to me. And I am very thankful to my loving wife for making me a better pastor, for teaching me how to listen to the things that were being said without words. That was so important. And prompting me to write down all of God's faithfulness in our lives that kept the faith burning bright in my life. Thank you so much to Haley and to Connor for your words. I can't express how much that means to me. Thank you.
I've never seen my husband get choked up like that in my entire life. And I've known him for a very long time. this church has got me through so much as well. I married into this church, never being a pastor's wife ever before. And I've worked at many churches before this, so I had a connotation about what a pastor's wife meant and what it was supposed to be. And I was very scared because all the other churches I had experienced, there were those secret expectations. You're the pastor's wife. You must be involved in children's ministry, or you must be involved in youth ministry as well. That must be a passion of yours. And I have to say, that was the exact opposite experience that I had here. I, in fact, had people come up to me, not only making sure that I didn't feel any pressure, but making sure that nobody else was going to pressure me to doing anything I didn't want to do. Very cool. In my The youth groups and families reached out to us so quickly to make us their own. I had moved to Burlington for the first time, and coming from a bigger city, this felt like not so much of a city. And it was really challenging being my extroverted self and having my husband, newly husband, being so busy. You guys embraced me so quickly and made us your own. I always knew there was a place to go when Mike was away. People would join me for leftover Sundays at 9 o'clock at night when I had leftover food. We had good chats at restaurants and ate some of the most famous squirrel pie. If you don't know what squirrel pie is, when the Garretts come back, you have to ask the Garretts. The prayer chain prayed me through many of my hardships this year and for the whole 3 years. They prayed me through almost getting kicked out of school. They prayed me through health scares, bad diagnoses, and the ever-constant seeking direction for what my career has next for me. Every week, I came to the door so worried that because I hadn't been there in 3 Sundays, I had felt so guilty that I wasn't there, and I was never met with guilt, ever. I was always met with warm faces and big hugs, being reminded that I was missed and my husband was doing a really good job. After coming off of big ministry jobs for both Mike and I, when we came here, Mike had a not great experience, as he just told you, with a past church, and I had a really good experience at a past church, but I think it really kind of hit us hard trying to dive into a new ministry. But I have to say, all these things that I mentioned were not just tools of sweetness when I walked in the door. They were tools for healing for both Mike and I. At the root, I'm the most thankful that this church made my husband come alive again. I don't know if everybody knows this, but I feel like it's my job to give you a little peek into Mike. Mike's also a high school teacher. Never the plan, just had a bad ministry experience and figured he loved teaching, and that's why he loves ministry, and so he should become a teacher. He always, after those broken relationships, had an extra plan, just in case ministry wasn't it. Maybe it would be teaching instead. He worked as a supply teacher for a lot of his time here, and it was just broke my heart the fact that this guy was always nicknamed Rev, always. Even when he was in youth, his nickname was always Rev. And it was just because everybody knew that this was what he was meant to do. But after bad experiences, I didn't see that in Mike anymore. This church brought that out of him like I've never seen before. I can tell you honestly and sincerely that neither of us would be ready or willing or able to fathom our next adventure at Erskine if it wasn't for your journey with us. We are who we are as a witness and a testament of the love and the daily choice for you guys to embrace us as your family. To Mike, I am so proud of you. I've loved our adventures over the past 3 years together. I know how much you are going to miss this place, but please take comfort that the God that brought you here, that loved you through all of these people, the God that used you for his kingdom here is not done with you yet. He still has plans for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And now, thanks to Knox, that future has some amazing new friends in it.
We want to pray for Mike and Emily as they go, and so I would like to encourage you, if you are able, to stand. And if you are comfortable putting your hands forward towards Mike and Emily as a demonstration of your encouragement to them as they go to Erskine. Let us pray. O holy community of Father, Son, and Spirit, we gather together today to thank you for sending Mike to us, to help us learn and grow together in you. We are especially grateful for the service he has provided to the young people and families, both here at Knox and in the wider Waterdown community. Thank you for giving him insight and wisdom in the development of opportunities through the regular weekly programs of junior and senior high young people and the Sunday school for the children. We thank you for the energy you gave him for the weekend youth retreats, camping, and outdoor activities, ways of finding expressions of your love and grace in the natural world. We have been so enriched, not only by the vision, but by the fulfillment of mission trips to the Dominican Republic, providing opportunities for Knox people to be practically involved in blessing those who now have permanent and secure housing, and in the process, forging relationships among your people. It has been such a delight to welcome Emily into our Knox family when she and Mike joined as husband and wife. Thank you for bringing them together in this bond of love with each other and with you. We see in their lives the commitment of sharing of life, bringing together their unique gifts into service for you in their own areas of ministry. We ask, O God, for your empowering grace to be upon them as they move in response to your call to our sisters and brothers at Erskine. May they be welcoming and supportive of Mike and Emily, and may they embrace them in the love of Christ. We send them into this new venture, confident of your faithfulness in preparing the way before them. We pray for great success as they join with that community, growing in love for one another and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in that neighborhood in Hamilton. We entrust them to your care, knowing that you who have begun a good work in them will bring it to completion in that great day. We pray this all in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
You two can't sit. You do, no, you can't sit. This is for you. Little bag here. Yes. On behalf of the entire Knox congregation, I'd like to present this token of our appreciation in honor of your significant influence during the years here. We know that Erskine will benefit just as greatly from your gifts. Thank you so much. Thank you. Now you have to open.
Do we have it over here?
Yeah. I'll hold you. You can poke through that later. That's a card. It is, yes. Now, this bowl was crafted by our own George Wilkinson. It was chosen specifically for Mike and Emily because of the repeating pattern of pinwheels. It kind of looked like the sun. So Mike is like a ray of sunshine who's let his light shine in Knox. We know he will continue to let his shine in the Erskine Church community. Thank you both. Bless you. Thank
you. There we go. We're going to sing a closing hymn, again, Mike's choice. And my little two cents is, I remember when I first came here and I first met Mike and Emily, and I thought immediately, and this happens probably quite a bit, I'm sure all you folks have had this happen, I thought immediately, I think you're going to be one of my favorite people here. And you know, and in the time I've been here, he's done nothing to prove that original sense wrong. In fact, he's done everything to prove it right. You're absolutely one of my favorite people here, and I'll be very sorry to see you go, and I hope we can still remain in contact. And same to you. Okay.